Praise God.
So thank you so much.
God bless. Praise God. Thank you so much. Praise God. Praise God. When I spoke to Pastor Scott, and he didn't even say, let me pray about it, let me think about it. He said, the Blue Mountain is where I want to be. Before we call our beloved Pastor Tammy, our Reverend Stratford, she has a word for us.
And yea, my people, I would say unto you this night, I am pleased with your worship. I am pleased with your worship. You have created an environment for me to dwell in. I'm taking you in increments, in increments, in increments. I am pleased with your worship. Don't go back, Shatta. I am God. I have brought you here for such a time as this. I'm pleased, says God. You have positioned yourselves and you've waited in my presence. You've waited. It was time when you got here, saith the Lord. But you weren't ready, Hatasa. But you've gone in increments. You've taken baby steps, step by step by step. And you walked in waters. You stood. And now you can swim. He shot up, and it shall not overflow you, said God. You've made a way. You positioned yourselves. And yes, I am God. And yes, I am pleased. I was waiting for you to get to that place. And you've made your way. Higher, 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 higher. Don't go back. You have tasted of my goodness. You've tasted of the supernatural on this mountain, in this level. I say unto you this night, hey, there shall not be a thing that I shall not do for you. Because you have positioned yourself. You are ready, says God, and I will move. I am moving. I will continue to move. Stay, stay, stay. I'm God.
Hallelujah. Boy, thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for rectifying your word, Lord God. Hallelujah. Well, it is my honor and my privilege to introduce our speaker today. She is not a stranger to United in Praise and Worship by now. Her mother has spoken, brought the word of the Lord to us just now, being positioned and being prepared, and he says, God says that he's pleased. So now we're going to be introducing the daughter. She's from Rhema Prayer Ministries, and she will bring a Rhema word to you today. So our hearts are prepared. Let's not get weary. Let's get ready for the word, because the word is life and power, and it's quickening to you. So Reverend Tammy Stratford from Rhema Prayer Ministries, woman of God, called and chosen, appointed by God. I know that God has given her a word of life, and you will be quickened today. Praise God. So open your hearts to receive and welcome the woman of God. Stand to your feet and welcome her. Praise be to God.
Amen, amen. I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that has rescued me, delivered me, sanctified me to himself, lover of my soul, lifter of my head, my everything. Father, I bless your name. There is an awesome presence in this place. You are worthy to be esteemed. You are worthy to be worshipped. If we had 1,000 tongues, it's still insufficient to explain the majesty and the splendor of who you are. We are grateful that you have gathered us here on this mountain. And the same way you descended like fire on Mount Sinai, we invite you to descend upon us in a way that your glory may be revealed. Not just to us, but through us. In Jesus' name we pray. I appreciate your ministry, Pastor Scott. When you sung Blessed Assurance, I thought I was going to turn inside out. I was actually turning inside out. It was the song that, it was my father's favorite song. And it ministered to me when he was transitioning. And I would play it and sing it and play it and sing it. And so it brought me back to the goodness of God. It brought me back to the goodness of God. Mel, when you were on that trumpet, I told you, you have a relationship with that thing. There was a heavenly sound. It was a heavenly sound. I think it was the sound that pierced and caused the heavens to become open. I want to just thank Jewel for the opportunity once again to come and just pour out what I believe the Lord has given me to share today. I want to talk about an encounter of transformation. It was very interesting because last night, Reverend Stratford, we don't talk about what God gives us. And last night, I was like, God, she's in my message. She's in my message. So it's just God confirms his word. He confirms what he's doing in the midst of us. But I want to come from Genesis 32, verse 24 through 26. Father, I just thank you for just being all in all today. I decrease while you increase in me, through me, speak through me, minister through me, Father, Holy Spirit. I can do absolutely nothing without you. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for speaking clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him into the breaking of a day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and man and have prevailed. And the scripture clearly tells us that Jacob struggled with a man. Some theologians surmise that the man was the pre-incarnate Christ, and others say it was the angel of the Lord. But I submit to you today that Jacob's struggle was actually internal. He was having a struggle with himself. Wrestling speaks of a conflict. I believe God used the situation regarding meeting Esau to confront the conflict that was within himself. Jacob was fearful, so much so that he instructed his servants to go before him in droves, bearing gifts to appease Esau. But God had made Jacob some promises. Remember, he had an encounter at Bethel, and out of that encounter, God had made some promises to Jacob. When Jacob came out of that dream, he said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. The heavens actually opened over that place where Jacob was. Genesis 28, God says this to Jacob at that place, at that encounter of Bethel. He says, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. But Jacob had some doubts regarding God's promises. And Jacob had to struggle between his own fears and God's promise to him. Jacob struggled with his identity and he struggled with his purpose. Jacob struggled all night until his breakthrough came. He did not give up the fight, but he contended to the end. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I submit that Jacob finally yielded and surrendered his fears and his doubts to the Lord. And after he surrendered and submitted and yielded, his breakthrough came. The hip, the physical hip, which is the ball and socket point, the ball and socket joint, is the largest weight-bearing joint in the body. It provides support to the rest of the body. The joint being displaced in the wrestling was symbolic of Jacob relinquishing control. Jacob surrendering himself to God's transformative process. Jacob's breakthrough brought forth an inner transformation that resulted in God changing his name from Jacob, supplanter, to Israel, God prevails. Jacob's name was indicative of a change of heart, a change of nature. There was a work that God had to do within Jacob to bring him to him true and to bring him to himself, his true self. Jacob had to free him from his former identity, his former nature, his former mindset, his former ways, his former fears, and his former doubts. Verse 24:1 says that Jacob was left alone when he came to that place. Transformation doesn't happen publicly. It happens privately. It's an experience that takes place when you're walking with God and yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's actually deep, calling unto deep. It's a deeper experience. God pulls us aside to address the areas in our life that are hindering us from fulfilling our purpose and fulfilling our destiny. Areas that hinder us from coming forth into true identity. Galatians 5 talks about the struggle that we have, the struggle with the human spirit and the divine spirit of God within us. Conflict. Men are in conflict today. Many believers are in conflict today. Conflict is the impetus for transformation. And transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again. Conflict is the impetus for transformation. And transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God descending upon our hearts, it speaks to an inner work. It's not just to come for an experience, feel good, have some goosebumps, and go back in the same state before you came. Anytime God does something, he does it with a purpose. God is very intentional, and he's very purposeful. So anytime we have the opportunity to experience an encounter, we have to steward what that encounter was about. Because that encounter was purposeful and God allowed us to experience it. He wants to work deeply in us and he wants to work deeply through us. We're living in a time where we need to see the manifestation of God's power. When you think about how many believers in the world, I think about when the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000, but now we're dealing with a culture in the world that is pushing back, and it seems like the church hasn't yet garnered the power to deal with the effects of the culture that is pressing against us. God wants to encounter our lives for a purpose. It's for a purpose. The church has to get to a position where the church is actually moving according to the spirit and power of God. I had an opportunity to actually, for the first time in my life, witness a miracle of God. I've always told God, I want to see the miracles. I don't want to just hear about them. I don't want to hear somebody else tell me about their experience. I don't want to just read about them. God, this is a time and a season and a period that we're living in where miracles have to be revealed because you desire to reveal yourself through the miracle. I went to visit someone, and the doctors have said they're brain dead. Said they had a stroke, a couple of strokes, heart attack. On life support, told the family, make a decision. That person today is living and breathing in their right mind. Survive cancer. Survive death. And I saw the condition. And the person, I have had to watch both of my parents transition. So I know what death looks like. I know when death is right at the door. When I went to see them, I said, Lord, Jesus, Jesus. But the Spirit of God came in and arrested that life. And even the doctors said, there's no scientific explanation. Of what has happened here. This is a miracle. God wants to encounter our lives for transformative purposes, to bring us through a process where we begin to reflect the image of Christ. We begin to reflect his nature, because the word of God says we are partakers of his divine nature. We can say that, but we've got to look like that. We've got to move like that.
Come on, yes.
It's more, it's word. His word is life. His word is truth. We've got to believe that is true about what we carry. We carry the very presence of God. He wants to deliver us. Set us free from present mindsets, present attitudes, present ways, present behaviors. The Bible says the former things be passed away. And behold, all things become new. Let me tell you something. What God is doing now, we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen. God, there's a move of God. We haven't been here before, church. We haven't seen this before, church, where God is going. It is time to get on with God because of what he's doing. Reverend Stratford said last night, be careful you don't miss your visitation. If you're looking for what God did yesterday, you're going to miss him. Because he's moving very differently in this hour. He wants to free us from low self-image and lack of identity. So many believers don't even know who they are. So many believers are so unaware of the spiritual realm. So many believers were fighting with each other in the church. And your fight is not with your brethren. Your fight is with powers and principalities. Rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But yet we're fighting with one another. Jesus. There must be a struggle. And that struggle must take place in us. As an individual. The same way that Jacob had to wrestle with himself in order for him to come to himself. He had to wrestle with the conflict of all his doubts, all his fears, all his suppositions. And he had to relinquish himself to the will of Almighty God. We must wrestle It's a wrestling hour. Hushaka to hushaka. It's a wrestling hour. That's why you see so many people going through things. And the things that people are going through, it's almost like if God doesn't do it, it absolutely cannot be done because it defies all natural understanding on how this outcome will glorify God. My God, we must wrestle until God completes the work. That's not easy. We're here at Blue Mountain, and we're here because we want to encounter God. We want there to be a hope in heaven. The heavens have been opened. But we want to encounter God. The theme is the Holy Spirit descending upon our hearts. Transformation is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. And I think we sometimes get caught up with wanting an encounter, but not realizing the purpose of that encounter. We just want it. We've gotten so, oh, I want an encounter. I want an encounter. I want an encounter. I want. But why do you want an encounter? What are you willing to do with the encounter? And it's almost like we've gotten caught up in so much feeling that we miss the whole essence of what God wanted to do. I'm not against conferences because I have them. But I've grown to a point where conferences could become status quo. We somehow have to be able to impart in people how to have the same experience at home when there's nobody else in the background playing the music. When there's nobody else prompting you and prodding you and encouraging you, we must begin to teach people how to encounter God in their prayer closet. Because if they don't, then they'll keep going around the same thing over and over. And you wonder why people are still in the same place. Last year,